So we have a lender that will lend you up to 98%. That's including lender's mortgage insurance, which is a one-off fee that the banks will charge.
Hey, you're listening to My Millennial Money. It's like the big day out when 28 Days played. And now, over to Aaron, John and Glenn.
Hey, welcome to My Millennial Money. Did you ever go to the big day out?
I did. And I actually liked 28 Days. That's why I thought that was funny. Yeah.
Did you, John?
No, I wasn't allowed.
Oh, because that would have been
allowed.
Like
a... Well, did they come to Adelaide?
No,
it was Melbourne.
No, it's country.
Country Melbourne.
Oh, were you?
Victoria.
Never heard it. A big day out was going to the local footy.
It was like a Sydney... It was Australia.
No, it was Australia-wide. Yeah.
Did you go?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely. In fact... I went, my favourite band is Tool.
Yep.
And when they were in Australia in 2011, yep. They played the big day out, but they did a sideshow in Brisbane. So friends of mine, we did a road trip to Brisbane, saw them play their sideshow there, and then came back to Sydney. And later that week, they were headlining the big day out.
Perfect.
I didn't give a crap about the big day out. So we just went for Tool. Like at like 8 p.m. and went for Tool. And yeah, it was awesome. So
is that the only time you went?
No, I used to go when I was in my teens.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, love a good bit of music. Now, we've got a guest today.
That we agree on something.
I know, it's so weird.
Mm. Wow.
What's your favourite band, John?
Oh, I hate to say it, AC/DC.
Really?
Yeah. Powderfinger, close second.
Wow.
Mm. Mm.
Yours?
Tool. I just said that.
Don't you listen?
Yeah.
Anyway. I was waiting for a gripe about Aaron, but you haven't got one today.
No, I think we finally have reached.
Oh, I'm so annoyed.
Kind of, yeah.
The crowd erupts that I haven't got a gripe. I feel really rude because we've got a guest here and we haven't introduced her yet. We've got Genevieve Fordham from Sphere Finance. Hi, Genevieve.
Hi, Genevieve.
Hi, Jen.
Hello.
How are you? Are you in shock?
Yes, I am.
You didn't know what you were walking into?
I didn't.
Well, you're here now. So today we're talking about all things first home buying and what we need to do because Genevieve is a mortgage broker who specializes. A lot of her work is with first home buyers. So we want you to solve all our problems.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think I can do that.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. So do you do any other problem solving other than because I've got a few issues in my life? Yeah, if you want to know
the issues,
I don't
think we've got that much time.
Yeah, just go to every other episode of the podcast. Yeah,
and you'll only see. 25 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. But before we do that, has anyone ever had a, because we're talking about banking and lending and all that, and there's a common risk of getting identity fraud and getting things stolen, but has anyone actually had any episodes of mistaken identity?
You're looking at me?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I suppose when I was in Adelaide once, there was a guy who was a high-profile AFL footballer, and I was sitting in the mall over there, as they call it, having a bite to eat with a friend.
Yep.
And this kid came up and said, can I have your autograph?
Did you give it to him?
Of course I did, yeah.
They thought you were a famous footballer.
And signed
like
it in
guy.
The name of who that guy was,
oh,
yeah.
That poor kid.
That poor kid. Is wow. Damn that guy.
It happens to me quite a bit, mistaken identity. I know, right? You wouldn't know it. So the other day, walking through JB Hi-Fi, okay, looking for...
Thursday night?
No.
Oh.
No, that was another time.
Okay.
But... I'm walking around and I'm just in my own little world and this lady comes up to me and goes, oh, excuse me, do you know where Neil Diamond on CD is? And I said...
So you look like you work in there.
Well, and this was the funny thing. I'm like, oh, no, I don't. Sorry. And kept walking. And she must have thought I was the rudest employee. And then I was like, oh, crap. Sorry. And I went back because I was, having my boost juice in my own little world. And I'm like, oh, sorry, I actually don't work here.
A lot of young employees haven't got that social awareness anyway. They probably do ignore you.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's just crazy. And then the current mistaken identity that I've got at the moment is there's this like Country Women's Association group in America. And there's this lady called Glenna, G-L-E-N-A. And one of my email addresses is Glenn A, because my middle name starts with A, James at, email.com, whatever. Anyway, I always get copied in on these group messages about the country.
CWA.
Yeah, the country. And I'm like, Denise, you've sent the wrong one again.
Please forward to Glenna.
Yeah, that's right. So it's pretty funny that it always happens. So first home buying, it's a hot topic at the moment. Do you think it's more hot than it was like 15 years ago as first home buying?
I think it's hotter. Probably because harder. It's harder.
It's
yeah.
harder. Okay.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't know. I was 10.
Yeah.
I was going to say, is Jen even born?
I know. So and cute. This is a problem. Like with millennials, we're dealing with people that are like 23 up to 40. So we've got a big demographic that we're going to cater for. And Genevieve, she's expressed interest in wanting to listen to the episode about how much to spend on an engagement ring. But we'll...
No, my partner did.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you'll forward it to your partner.
When we were 25, we weren't wanting to do a podcast, were we?
No.
No.
I mean, when
I... don't know what
wasn't
else
around,
did...
was it?
No, it was... but just. Sort of just.
Yeah.
Just.
You
guys, the dial-up.
You guys really old.
Dial-up. Dial was dial-up.
Got into Genevieve, I am.
She said that. I love watching really old people.
I've just decided consciously that I'll always pretend I'm like 25.
Mm.
See, I'd rather forget being 25.
No, but I mean like...
Bad year for you, was it?
Yeah, kind of.
I just always think like I just don't want to get old and bitter. Shut up.
Don't want to get.
Isn't that a choice? Regardless of your age?
Yeah, it's a choice.
No, I just meant he was already there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Whatever.
Instead of young and bitter.
Yeah.
So, just as an example, I'm, you know, my driveway, you know, we've all walked up my driveway. There's local kids in the area and they ride their scooters up my driveway.
Oh.
And, you know, when I'm trying to have an afternoon nap, yeah. like... That's annoying.
Again, he has such problems in his life.
Can't believe I'm hearing this.
Yeah, and I always think...
That's a bit rude, though.
Yeah, however, I go, you know what? Let them play.
That's very
kind. Yeah, well done. Because it's a pretty good smooth surface.
It's great.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've just got to put myself in that position. When I was 10 years old on my scooter, I wouldn't want some angry person...
Would you have done that, though?
Yeah.
What, ridden up someone's driveway?
Yeah, I broke my elbow scootering down my cousin's driveway when I was like 15. Oh. Fell off it anyway. So anyway.
First home buyers.
First home buyers. Thanks, John, for bringing us back. ING just recently released a report. What's it called, Aaron? Are you about to sneeze? Oh, my goodness. They've just released a report called...
ING's Millennial Home Ownership Report.
So what are the headlines that came out of that report?
3 or more bedroom suburban home, the preferred choice for millennial first home buyers. So, only...
Oh, sorry.
You done? Only 7% want a one bedroom apartment.
Right.
Yeah, so as we've discussed, the millennial age group is...
It's
reasonably wide and varied, isn't it?
Yeah.
So...
And that's what I mean. I mean, like, that report there, the first point they want as a first home...
That seems a bit excessive.
3 or more bedrooms suburban home.
Yeah.
That's rubbish because, like, a 26-year-old is a millennial, right? Do you want a 3-bedroom...
Minimum.
Okay.
Okay.
And I think...
Might be right.
Genevieve, mistake me if I'm wrong, but are you in that... environment where you want things sooner than
always.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah. Okay.
Whereas we probably
speaking for me,
I didn't grow up in that environment where we've got to earn it and we've got to
I don't think I grew up in it, but I find that I've headed towards that.
Yeah.
Because I've dealt with a lot of first homeowners and the common problem is them wanting to buy in an area that they can't afford. But they've got the ability to buy a home somewhere.
But they just don't want to.
Where
it's not
the suburb that they want.
Yeah.
Or in that case, the 3-bed versus the 1-bed.
Yeah.
Get in the market.
Yeah. So basically, of all the millennials surveyed, only 7% want a 1-bedroom apartment. I mean, it's so dumb because who wants a 1-bedroom apartment?
But majority of them are buying, most of them are buying with their partners and their plan in the next couple of years from there is to have children. So that's not viable in
totally.
A one to two bedroom house anyway.
And what was the other points, Aaron?
More than a third of millennials are saving to buy a home within the next 3 years.
Okay, so, you know,
38%.
Yeah. So everyone's saving. What else?
61% admit they aren't sure how much they need to save for a home deposit, and this includes 40% of those that are currently saving for a home deposit.
Right, so
that's an issue.
Almost half of the people that are saving don't know what their end target is.
Yep, they're just saving.
Can we just nail that right now? Mm. Save 10% before you talk to Genevieve. Or what would you say, Jill?
As a first home buyer, I think a good guideline, if you're just wanting to buy that sort of 2 to 3 bedroom home in the fives to mid fives, I would be coming to me with at least $30,000 to $35,000.
Yep, yep.
That's ensuring that you're both first home buyers.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the perception out there, depending on who you surround yourself with, is, well, I need 20% as a deposit. But in actual fact, that's not right, is it? Like, you've got to be strategic out of the box. So tell me about that 98% bizzo.
So we have a lender that will lend you up to 98%. That's including lender's mortgage insurance, which is a one-off fee that the banks will charge. But it's a benefit for first home buyers because they really only need to come to you with about $30,000 to $35,000, which realistically, if they don't have any other debts and they're on decent incomes, 65-60 each, they could save that within a year. So it is achievable.
Can I interrupt you there for 1 second? Can you read the next point? Because I think that's important.
57% of millennials are cutting back on luxuries like going for dinner in order to save for a home deposit.
Mm. Because
liars.
Yeah.
What's that status about avocado toast?
I hate hearing that crap.
I love it.
I hate it. I'm like, you don't. But I think the biggest rant I have is don't whinge you can't buy a house. If you're up to your eyeballs in credit card debt, personal loan debt, you've got the two brand new cars.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get intentional, I've got a client, you know, I saw them less than a year ago. We've cleaned up their debt and they've got 25 grand saved already within 6 or 7 months. Like it's just unbelievable. So, Jill, like most first home buyers that come to you, what's the typical avatar of what do they generally look like?
It's a bit of a broad question because I get some that come to us and they both have car loans, they both have a credit card that they're probably paying off from the holiday that they just went on. But then I have other first home buyers that have $40,000 to $80,000 in the bank and they're ready to go. But there's also, it's not also just about the deposit. It can also be whether they're working casually, whether they're working permanent part-time, do they have any dependents. Like, we get a lot of first home buyers that have between 1 to 2 dependents now as well. I would say almost up to 50% of first home buyers are also using a parental guarantee, but I still strongly advise that they come to us with a deposit to show that they have that conduct of putting money away or knowing that they have to make that repayment every month.
And what about buying with friends? do you see me?
Nice.
I do. I have come across it a few times, but it just gets very messy when you buy with friends and then one of them has a partner and they want to go buy with their partner.
Yeah.
They don't understand that they actually have to service that whole debt regardless of whether their friend is involved or not. So
Glenn set you up to this response, didn't he? Because he's off it. Yeah.
If we can steer them in other directions and they both can achieve goals but maybe not as high as what they wanted to separately, then I'd probably more so go down that avenue than I would buy together.
Yeah, and I can honestly say, and again, I live in a bubble, we all know that. I'm raising my
Glenn's
hand, like
bubble.
I'm getting all preachy, but like
finally gotten through.
Hey, it's a great bubble. It's very comfortable.
Look, you know, I'm just very so dirty because I'm jealous.
Yeah, it's
I'm
a totally very comfortable jealous. Bubble. You should see the cool stuff we've got over
here. Oh, I can imagine.
His biggest issue is a kid skateboarding down his driveway. Oh.
But that's not an issue because I chose to let them enjoy it.
I just love the issues that he has.
Major.
Yeah, they are. Thank you.
John's got kids skateboarding through his house.
True. Yeah, with the dog on there.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've lost my train of thought, but I can honestly say I have not dealt with a client that is purchased with a friend and they both still own the property within 3 to 5 years.
Yeah. Mm. Even and siblings as well, like brothers or two sisters want to buy a house together, but then in that 2 to 3 year time frame that they're trying to build the equity, they've both ended up with a partner and now they want to go their own ways and they end up selling that property and now maybe their partner's a first home buyer and they're no longer eligible for that because they've already bought with their sister.
Mm. Yeah, I've got ways around avoiding what you've just mentioned, but yeah, I disagree with all that stuff. But yeah. Going back to what you were saying, Genevieve, I think it's as important as ever now that you're surrounding yourself with the right broker because you've got the Unibank 98% loan
mm-hmm.
versus another product that maybe only offers a 90% loan or doesn't take into account casual employment or part-time employment.
Yeah.
So you go to one lender and you say, well, no, they won't lend me money. It's game over. Let's go and save for another 12 months.
And this is why I always push people to go to a mortgage broker because you would know month on month that lenders that are, you know, I know CBA within a matter of months turned around and basically didn't want investing on their book. And
yeah. wanted, like, we've got certain lenders that will specialise in police officers, nurses. They get overtime. They understand allowances and they'll take 100% of that where most major lenders only take 80% of that. Mm-hmm. And why should a nurse that works night shift be penalised when they go for a loan? Mm. Yeah, so there's lots of different lenders and coming to a mortgage broker just opens up people's eyes to their options because if they go to one lender and that lender says no, then they're generally disheartened and they don't want to talk about
it. So in a perfect world, any clients that you get, is there one or two things that you would like those clients to do before they come and see you?
I like to either give clients a guideline on what their repayment would be on their home loan every month. And if they're still living at home with mum and dad, I suggest that they try and start putting away at least what their minimum repayment would be on their home loan every month or every week, just so they can start feeling what it actually feels like to have that commitment.
Yeah.
Because like if you come to me and you want a parental guarantee loan, you're borrowing 100% plus costs and you've never paid rent before, how do we know that, yes, on paper you can afford the loan, but just that conduct.
The habit.
Yeah, being able to put the money away. And
I would probably say anyone listening, if it's something that you want to do in the next even 2 years, like we'll put Genevieve's details in the comments or whatever. Start the discussions with Genevieve today.
Yeah, for
and she
sure.
can actually give you some pointers on your own circumstances in order to get you gift wrapped for 2 or 3 years down the track or I don't know if you'd be open to that because you can,
yeah, of course.
You've got clients all around Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just send me an email and I can come back to you with some figures and I can even come back to you with what your borrowing capacity is and sort of let you know where you're at now. And some clients think that they can't buy until 2 years down the track, but that may be different and they can do it now.
Yeah. So. And that's like in my situation, like when I purchased my house, I think it was 540 grand, like 50, even saving 55 grand as a deposit. I mean, who saves that type of, it's nuts, right? I actually paid the lender's mortgage insurance to get into the market because I didn't want to go to my parents and tie them up with it all. And, you know, the house is.
And look at you now.
Yeah.
Flying
along and hosting
your
podcast.
In your bubble.
In my little bubble. Yeah. So I just think, you know, before you rule anything in or out, you need to speak to somebody about your own personal circumstances.
Just get educated.
Totally. And that's why we want to do this podcast, because it's not like take everything that we say is gospel right now. But, hey, if you've got a desire to buy your first home to live in, you might not as well. That's totally cool. It's more of a question, well, what are you doing with your income and assets to build wealth? It's totally cool if you want to rent somewhere in the middle of Sydney or Melbourne and build an investment portfolio outside. And that's when I'd say speak to John because he'll make that happen. But
do you see much of that, Genevieve? First home buyers coming to you saying, oh, don't want to live in this home. I want to.
Yeah, so we have a fair few clients that just purchase an investment and stay living where they want to where they want to live, because as you said earlier, we all want to live somewhere that we can't afford. So if you can rent there and get an investment, then yeah, I get that a lot.
So they actually forego the homeowner's grant, or
Well, if you think about it, like, so the first home buyer has to live in that property for at least 6 months within the first 12 months. And on a, say, a $550,000 loan, that's about $15,000 to $17,000 in repayments. If you can just pay $20,000 in stamp duty and you can start renting it out from day one, if that works best for you, then why not?
Question, have you had many clients ever buying in Africa? Sorry, I just wanted to do that. Hang on.
Apparently the market's flat there.
Yeah, it's really flat. So let's talk about, you know, parental guarantee. Like, it's cool if parents want to help. And we want, you know, I think I can, I'll also share an article about what is a parental guarantee, but, you know, rather than putting their house up as security, can they refinance and withdraw the capital and then gift money?
Yeah, of course. So we get clients, like, all different scenarios, but we get clients where their parents are willing to give them the funds, like they might have $50,000 saved and the parents say, well, we'll match that. But I try to look at it, if the parents are going to give them the money and the kid doesn't have to pay that back, then yes, but then having two loans and that stress on them that they have to pay their parents back can sometimes be more damage than good.
Yeah.
So if we go down the path of a parental guarantee, generally I would do their loan as a split of the guarantee. So we put a 20% split on their home loan. So they know that that's their goal, to get rid of that in the next 3 to 5 years. And then if their house goes up in value, that's a bonus. And we have that parental guarantee released.
I don't know the answer to this, but can you do, is there options available how you might have one mortgage that could be interest only and the parental guarantee portion is interest and principal?
Not so much now. Banks are cracking down that any parental guarantees must be principal and interest. Some banks, yes, do allow that. So we just explore what options are best for the client at that time and see if that's viable.
And quickly, do you have any issues ever with people who have overdue, like, phone bills and their credit rating is dinged?
Yeah, so if they have a credit rating ding, we generally ask the question at the meeting, have you ever had any defaults? Have you got any unpaid bills or anything like that? And generally the clients are upfront. We do get the occasional one where it comes back declined and they're not sure why that happened, or they never knew of that bill. But generally it may just be an explanation letter to the bank to explain why it's happened. But everyone's different. Yeah. Like, so if they haven't paid a $15,000 personal loan and it's still on their credit file, then that's also not responsible lending on my behalf to put them in a parental guarantee. And
so how much time do you spend being a financial consultant versus being a mortgage broker writing loans? Because from the outset, you might be able to see, well, this is set up for a disaster, but you're not their parent either. They've got to make their own
mind course. Up. Well, like, sometimes we get clients that are on, like, say, $80,000 or $90,000 and they can borrow up to $800,000. We may tell them that their borrowing's about $500,000-$600,000 if we guess that's what suits.
We're right up against the clock. We'll just stop, because this is very important information. I'll stop this for another couple of minutes. I think the biggest thing that people need to understand is, just because you can borrow an amount
doesn't mean you should.
No.
And what I always tell people to do is make sure your monthly mortgage repayments or your yearly mortgage repayments or rent is no more than 30% of your take-home income at a maximum. 25% is awesome. 20 is amazing. So,
well, Jel. Any advice in this podcast is a general nature only and has not been tailored to your personal circumstances.
We'll stop him as well. So, Jel, could you tell us how our listeners can find you online?
Sure. So we have a website, www.spherefinance.com.au.
Yep.
You can also find me on Facebook, which is Genevieve Fordham Sphere Finance page. You can also start following us on Instagram at Sphere Finance.
Perfect. And I'll put all that stuff in the comments. Mm. So thank you so much for sharing your wisdom.
That's okay.
And I really rate Genevieve as a broker, because you are a young millennial and you're experienced in what you do.
Living and breathing it.
And you get it.
Yeah.
And Genevieve's also a homeowner as well, so she's, you know, walked in your shoes before.
Yeah.
So thanks very much for joining us today. And see you guys soon.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Any advice in this podcast is of a general nature only and has not been tailored to your personal circumstances. Please seek personal advice prior to acting on this information. Before making a decision to acquire a financial product, you should obtain and read the product disclosure statement relating to that product. Opinions constitute our judgment at the time of issue and are subject to change. Neither the licensee, any of the National Australia Group of Companies, nor their employees or directors give any warranty of accuracy, nor accept any responsibility for errors or omissions in this podcast. Glenn James, Urban Get Up Approach Limited, trading as Sort Your Money Out, are authorised representatives of Apogee Financial Planning Limited, AFSL 230689.